But so I was following my habit trackers, and the first months I had an overall of 72%.
Okay.
And I lost around 4 pounds, which was really what I wanted to do. So perfect. And then last month I continued with my habits and I was 1% up. So I did up level and I was at 73% overall, basically. But I regained 1.5 pounds.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, what's going on? Am I lying to my habit tracker? Am I not being honest, or is something else happening? And I thought, yeah, I could ask for help.
So one thing I would do, sorry, like all of a sudden I swallowed spit down the wrong side, is let's not judge, like, am I lying to myself? Like, first of all, just listen to the question your brain offers up. Am I lying to myself? You need to tell your brain, like, no, I actually have statistical data. So there's no lies here. Like, I just have data in front of me. And now what I need to do is break the data down. So let me ask you this. If you had to guess, what is one habit that you need to zero in on this month? And I applaud you. I mean, you got it up a percent. That's great. But if the scale is saying moving it up a percent, gained 1.5 pounds, it just means, all right, let's just dive into a habit and let's just zero in on one that we might could move the needle even more on. So which one would you say is the one that you have the most opportunity?
Stop at enough, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. And I think it might have also in a month, I think my enough has changed already quite fast. And I think I might have been basing my enough on something that has changed already.
Okay. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, actually, I was listening to Thoughts 2.0 already. And at the end, you offered this challenge. And I'm doing this challenge to kind of reconnect with your or connect with your body. And that has been like amazing. So I'm doing all those small exercises. So one that has really helped, and that was like 3 days ago, was to eat only half of what you would normally eat at lunch. And I was like, no, that's never going to work. I'm going to be overly hungry. And I wasn't. I mean, I waited the 2 hours and I was like, oh, I guess I can still go on. So yeah, so I'm doing that. And drinking a bit more water is basically helping. But a lot of thoughts are happening now, which is, but you don't have anything left to eat basically now. So if you want to lose weight,
let me ask you, really, is that true? Like the thought of, I mean, you basically have nothing left to eat now.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's not true. Otherwise I would die, but
well, that's a great thought to tell your brain. It's like, that's not true. We have food. Otherwise we would just die. That's not happening. Like, this is important because y'all will say stuff like that, like, Corinne, but my brain's thinking this, and you'll look at me like, it's so true. And then when I question, you're like, well, I just want you to question you now instead of needing me to question you. So what else is your brain offering up?
You're being restrictive again. Not much
is
on your plate.
Are you being restrictive?
No, I'm just eating until enough. I just need less. So it's not true.
Yeah. So when your brain wants to say, now you're being restrictive, you could just say like, no, we're just eating a little less. We're just trying this out. Maybe I've always been wrong about how much food I really needed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Here's the thing that I would think about. We've already had two major thoughts that I didn't debunk that you debunked. So your brain is already showing you evidence that it's very wrong on a lot of things. It could also be wrong about how much food you need, because it's basing how much food you need on you gaining weight. Like, this is what we used to eat. It's like, yeah, but I also was like, you know, going into hibernation mode or something. That's what I always tell myself. Just like, even in maintenance, you get, it's really, the brain job is to habitualize and like to normalize things. That's what it's supposed to do. I forget the name of it. It's not the habituation effect. It's Julie, if you know what I'm talking about, type it in the chat. There's basically, I think it's hedonic adaptation. That's the technical term. All it means is that your brain is supposed to like watch your life. And then when you keep doing things, it's supposed to make sense of it and normalize it. So it doesn't have to use the rational brain to overthink all the time. Our brains have two parts to it. The rational brain, which is the front part, that is the one that does all the thinking. So like before this call, I was working on the new maintenance planner that's going to come out with the maintenance program in July. It takes a lot of brain power. Like that's not my lower brain. That's my thinking part of my brain. The lower part of your brain, the habit brain, is supposed to get as many things in there as possible so that you can go through life without having to think very much, like not on a conscious level, because you couldn't ever keep up with that. It's like if you drive someplace every day, you hedonically adapt to it. You just get adapted to the route so that you're not having to be like, oh my gosh, which street am I supposed to turn on this time? Wait, let me check my GPS. Like you don't want to be doing that all the time. So your brain's job is to always be doing it. Same thing happens with food. Like if you eat a certain amount for a long enough period of time, it makes it to it. Your brain's job is to create a story around it to make it make sense so that you just keep doing that. Then it feels true and it feels real. And then it will just operate automatically. The problem that we all have is that we all adapted to overeating. And it happens to us a lot. If you think about when you go to a restaurant, if you think about what you see when you watch a TV show, portions are huge. They're way more than what we actually physically need. But our brains over time have been adapting to all of this. And it's like, this is the normal. This is the normal. So anytime you switch, your brain's going to be like, oh my God, that's new. That's different. I got to think about this. And it's going to want to resist changing gears every single time. Its job is to save you from having to rationally think. It wants to save rational thinking for important stuff like saving your life, slamming on the brakes when someone cuts in front of you, taxes, when you do taxes or, you know, whatever, writing content for y'all. Like if your child is sick, you want your rational brain. You don't want to be so tired that you don't know how to take care of your child because you've been all day long trying to like figure out how much you should be eating. So what you want to do is you want to realize probably when it comes to enough, when your brain is offering up, this is restriction. This is bad. You're going to run out of food. You're never going to be able to cut back from here. Like when it says all that, it's probably wrong. It's just trying to get you to do what you've always done. And that is your brain's job. This is when we want to pull our rational brain into the conversation and say like, my brain's probably wrong about this. I'm going to try these strategies. And here's the awesome news, Eleanor. Is it Eleanor?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have my glasses on, so I was just taking a wild guess. All I saw was me. Is you want to remember sometimes when y'all cut your food back, that may take you a long way. Maybe in the very beginning, you cut it back a little or you cut it back some, and that felt huge to you. But if you were, you know, down the road, you might see, oh, that was just one of the things that I was going to do. You don't really know what else you're going to be doing. So don't try to predict all of that. Just say like, but for now, I'm finding my enough. I don't need to worry if I'm ever going to have to cut it again. I don't need to worry if this is all this other stuff. For now, this is what my body's telling me. And then I will always be able to adapt to whatever I need to keep losing weight. It may or may not be less food. There may be other things you're doing right now that you don't even consciously know you're doing that we may address later as you learn new things. Who knows? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's spot on. It's really funny that you were talking about restaurants. So I'm French. In France, the portions are a little smaller, I think, than in the US still. But I was at the restaurant yesterday with a friend, and she's quite petite. And the portions were already very small. And half through her plate, she was like, oh, okay, I've had enough. But it was like a very good and fancy restaurant, so expensive and everything. And I thought, oh, she's just not going to eat it? Like, okay. And then my brain immediately went to, so I guess if I want to look like her, that's what I'm going to have to do. And then it made me sad. And, you know, well.
What made you sad?
I don't know. I think, I'm not so sure. I think the fact that I thought when I saw her do that, that if I want to have the same body as her, basically, or lose the weight I want to lose, mm-hmm. I won't be able to eat as much, not even as much, but I'll have to eat really little portions. And that didn't make me happy.
So why would a small portion? So you're, this is a really good story. So you have a friend who feels satisfied. Like yes. She's got her money's worth. She's like, man, I enjoyed this food, but I've had enough. This is great. She's happy. Yeah. And you're just like, oh God, that looks terrible. I don't want to be that person who just sits there and is very satisfied and thrilled.
Yeah, that's true. But she didn't even think about it, I think. I mean, it was very random for her. It was, oh, I've had enough. It was amazing. I'll stop here. And actually, you're right. Actually, that's where I want to be at some point.
So that's why I wanted, this is why I love your story, because your brain is wrong again. Mm. It's like when you see something like that happen and sadness gets on your radar feelings, it's kind of like what I was talking about in the beginning, when somebody feels restricted from a 24-hour plan where they put the food they want on it. And they're like, why would I feel restricted? Like, I want you to look for what we call mismatch feelings. We're sitting here looking at someone who it's like, I would like to be thin. She's paying attention to her body. She seems to be very satisfied and enjoyed the meal. And she seems to be effortlessly stopping. And I'm sad for her, sad for me. Because I, like, my brain is saying like, oh, that's got to be terrible. You don't like, the only reason why you're sad is because your brain is hanging on to the idea of happiness comes from the food we eat. For her, the happiness didn't come from the food. The happiness came from the total experience. The experience of being there with you, the experience of tasting the food. She didn't need more food to have a better experience. She had a good experience in her brain happening. And that's why it was easy for her to stop. But if your experience with the food is, I need to get my money's worth. This is very expensive food. They barely serve any portions. This probably won't be enough. I may even be hungry later. Oh my God, look at that bitch. She stopped eating before I did. Wait, yeah, your experience sucks. You're going to want to keep eating so you don't have to experience you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really true. It's so funny.
So you watch for, like, when a feeling, it's like, oh, here's a curious feeling. Why would I be sad in this moment? You don't have to do it then, but go back, get your journal out and write, like, all right, I want to find out why I was sad and challenge that. Is this like, do I want to be sad that one day I will stop eating when I feel like I've had enough? Do I want to be the kind of person who's sad if they go to an expensive restaurant and they don't clean their plate? Like, challenge every one of those. Because, like, for me, I just be honest, if I go to expensive, I rarely go to expensive. First of all, Corinne and Chris don't really go to expensive restaurants. We're so boring. But being someone that grew up incredibly poor, it's still very triggering for my nervous system to be around expensive things, to spend money on food, on anything. You can ask my husband. He gets so irritated with me because I get the most anxious if we're spending money on something. Like, my brain freaks out, like, we're not going to have enough, and this is bad, and you shouldn't waste this, and what if this happens? And, you know, like, it just always avalanches on all of that. But I've taught myself to remember that's just my brain's response. And I calm myself down, and then I really think about it. So for you, it's like, you know, you may not have had all the bullshit that I've had, but it is really common for a lot of people to not want to waste food just by the way we've been brought up. We've been taught to clean our plate, that it's wasteful not to just eat all of it. And just to know that, I want to be the kind of person that can go to an expensive restaurant. Maybe I get triggered to want to finish eating, but I want to be the kind of person that realizes the ultimate waste in life is to die prematurely because I kept cleaning my plate.